Well, it falls on me to introduce our next speaker. What an amazing guy he is. Was that what you wanted me to say, was it? Yeah. Okay. It's sort of like introducing my boss in a way, because in some ways, if there's anyone who doesn't need an introduction, it's young Mats here. But I do want to say a couple of words, because Mats Tunehag has been really one of the real fathers of the BAM movement from way, way back, and I honour that. You know, when I sort of say, where does he come from? I think, well, it's Sweden, really, but you can wind him up by saying Norway. Or you could say, hey, Stan, hur står det till? Yeah, bra tack. So, yeah, I honour him as one of the leaders of the movement. He chairs the BAM Global Movement. And I've been privileged to serve on Matt's board along with Joe Plummer, Jason Butler and others. And it's been great to see some of our board members just arriving. They're just sort of pyjama. It's just super to see we're going to have a gathering. We don't get face-to-face very often. Mats flies around the world talking at many, many venues. And often when you say, well, where does he live? It's probably seat 4D on the 666. He probably spends more time on that than anywhere else. But could I ask you to come up, Mats, because we just want to, I want to bless you. I just want to pray for you for a moment. Father, we give you thanks for this man. Thank you, God, for his leadership. Thank you, God, for where he's come from and what he's done with the movement and all those that have come alongside him and built with him. We honour that movement and we thank you, Mats. Father, would you bless him? Would you give him eloquence as he speaks to us now? And Father, would you fill him with your spirit and lead him? In Jesus' name, amen. Just before Mats' new book, I want you to buy this for another reason. On page 72, there is a testimony of David Skews. Please enjoy it.
Yeah, the best things in life are free, like air and love. Next best in life is $20. So, and you find it out at the IBEX table. Trends in BAM, a global perspective. So I was asked to do this presentation again. I did it last year. Now, when we talk about trends in BAM, we're not talking about fashion. Because fashion trends are short. And BAM is about having a long-term impact. BAM is an intergenerational issue. So if you heard me speak on this topic last year, sorry, the long-term trends hasn't changed. Live with it. To give a context to BAM globally, and also some good news, I thought I'll throw in some slides we didn't have last year. In 1990, one out of three in the world was poor. And now, one out of 10. How did that happen? It wasn't through aid, but through trade. It didn't happen, this poverty reduction, through wealth distribution, but through wealth creation. So we know that businesses can transform and lift people and nations out of poverty. And the Economist Intelligence Unit predicted that if the trend continues, we are moving towards the end of poverty. And the biggest lift out of poverty in the history of mankind has happened in our lifetime through business. So that's why Pope Francis is saying that business is a noble vocation directed to producing wealth and improving the world. It can be a fruitful source of prosperity for the area in which it operates, especially if they see the creation of jobs as an essential part of its service to the common good. And as Christians, we need to acknowledge our roots. You know, Martin Luther was a Catholic and Jesus was a Jew. So here is from one of my favorite Jewish thinkers, Rabbi Sacks, out of London. The market economy is deeply congruent with the values set out in the Hebrew Bible. Material prosperity is a divine blessing. Poverty crushes the spirit as well as the body, and its alleviation is a sacred task. Work is a noble calling. So business as mission is a new term. We see the birth of a modern-day BAM movement, but business as mission per se is not new. BAM, BAM. So we are always standing on the shoulders of giants that have gone before us, and we need to acknowledge that BAM has roots in Scripture, in history. Genesis chapter 1, God is the ultimate entrepreneur, the creator, creating good things for himself and for others. And at the end of each production day, he said, "These are good products." We are created in God's image to be creative, to create good things in business for ourselves and for others. That's why God tells the people of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 8 that I have given you the gift to create wealth. And he even commands them to create wealth through business, not just for the nation of Israel, but for all nations. And he reminds them when they're in exile in Jeremiah 29 that don't sit there and sulk because you are in the diaspora, you're refugees. Get involved in the local economy by starting and building and growing businesses. Seek the peace and prosperity, the shalom, the fullness, the flourishment of the city in which you live. Seek macro transformation. And that's why the woman in Proverbs 31, an astute businesswoman, she makes a market assessment. She invests. She makes a profit. She reinvests. She grows her business. She has an impact on many stakeholders. And then Jesus said, "What you have done to the least, you have done to me. I was hungry. I was thirsty. I was homeless. I was sick. And you helped." Now, being hungry, sick, homeless, and thirsty, these are symptoms of a problem. People with a job, in general, have shelter, have food on the table, and can go to the doctor. So we take Matthew 25 in the BAM movement, and we hear Jesus when he is saying, "I was unemployed, and you gave me a job." And this is what this Norwegian guy, Haugen, 200 years ago did. At the age of 25, he had a divine encounter. He decided, "I'm going to serve God and fellow Norwegians by preaching the gospel and starting businesses." He started 30 businesses. And part of what he did, he created an entrepreneurship movement that transformed Norway. And the Quakers, we are in William Penn land, of course. So we need to mention the Cadbury chocolate and factory started in Birmingham not Alabama, Old England, in 1824, and they were very intentional about having an impact on four bottom lines. Or Dole pineapple out of Hawaii. When the labor union leaders came and looked at their company and how it was run, they said, if all companies were run like Dole, we would be out of a job. What was the verse that informed Dole? Micah 6:8. Do justice, do mercy, walk humbly with God. So when we look at BAM's trends and gaps, yeah, we come with a rich history and deep roots. If I may just take a 20-year perspective and mention a few things where there have been gaps that are being bridged. We see a mental paradigm shift. We see an embracement of the BAM concept, a global connectedness, and an unprecedented growth. In the tube in London, you hear, mind the gap. And yes, we mind the gap. We want to close the sacred secular gap. And we see increasingly how that is being closed, that there is a paradigm shift where we embrace the Hebrew concept embedded in the word avodah, where it is used interchangeably for work, for worship, and for service, a seamless integration, a whole. So, it is about shaping business for God and for the common good. No God, no good. No Jesus, no BAM. With Jesus, more BAM for the buck. It is taking our Sunday talk and the beliefs in justice and mercy and loving your neighbor and all those things into a Monday walk. Because we believe that businesses shall serve people, be aligned with God's purposes, be good stewards of the planet, and make a profit. Among all peoples, to the greater glory of God. And thus, business is not a distraction. It is our calling. That's why we want to do business like Johann Sebastian Bach. It's a beautiful music, timeless, divine. Johann Sebastian Bach, by many considered to be the best composer ever. On every score, he wrote to the greater glory of God. Bach didn't just wake up one morning and he was the best musician and composer ever. No, it took hard work for many years practicing on the instrument, on the organ, so he could create good music for generations to come. Likewise, business is an instrument that has been entrusted to some, and we want to work on this instrument, fine-tune it for people and for God. The business is not a distraction. No, it is something that God has given to us. So we want to do business like Bach for the greater glory of God. What we also see as a trend, we see an increased global connectedness. And in the BAM movement, which was mentioned also this morning by Mike Baer, it's not just business people, even though that is, of course, essential. But also we have leaders in church and mission agencies and academia coming together. I will elaborate and give you some fascinating stories on Sunday about this. When we Google business as mission, we mustn't think, I got a picture of the global BAM movement. No, you only get a picture of the global BAM movement as it's being expressed in English. There are 6,000 other languages to go. And in Swedish, we say företagare för förändring. You, right? Yes. Thank you. And not all BAMers use the term BAM. And not everybody has a web presence. But if you want to get a glimpse of the global BAM movement, oh, is that coming up again? business has mission, concepts, and stories. So anyway, I don't know how it happened, but here it is. What we also rejoice in the last 20 years is an unprecedented growth. We're not the first time in the history of mankind to do BAM. But if we look at our time span, we see there are more BAM companies, there are larger BAM companies, and there are more enduring BAM companies. We also see more mission agencies, more churches, more universities embracing BAM in various ways. So when we look at these four trends, and there are others, what are some contributing factors to this change? Number one, and important, God is the conductor of this Kairos moment. It is God's. But we've also seen the benefits of creating a common language. And the BAM Global Think Tank has been an instrument towards that end. Of course, without a common language, you cannot communicate. And if you don't communicate, you can't collaborate. But by creating a common language, what do we mean by BAM? What is its biblical foundations? What are the historical lessons learned? What do we see out there today in different industries and countries? We've been able to formulate a language so we can communicate and we can collaborate and thus create greater holistic impact. And the BAM Think Tank reports, including the Lausanne paper from 2004, have been instrumental in shaping this global conversation. And we also did a global consultation on wealth creation. And we created 7 papers looking at things like wealth creation in the poor, the role of church in wealth creation. It has a one-page manifesto in 14 languages. We're looking at the book next year. We also have an educational video with user's guide, teacher's guide. All is free to use and download. And here is a sample.
God is the creator. He creates in abundance. There's flourishing. There are 360,000 different species of beetles, not the pop group, but the little bug. And there are 30,000 kinds of orchids. This is a reflection of God, who can't help himself but create and create more and create a beautiful wealth of colors and animals and so forth.
So business is God's way of providing for people. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. And business vocation is God's answer to that prayer. And businesses need to focus on producing goods and services that will enable humanity to flourish, because God's heart, of course, is that all of humanity should flourish.
Wealth creation is important because it mirrors God's heart. Genesis 1, he created us. We are not just souls, empty souls walking around without a body. He's created the body, he's concerned for the body, and wealth creation is that which provides for that body and others.
God wants everyone to have abundant life. And having an abundant life also means having a decent and a life where you have good self-worth and you can live well. And so we want to join this movement and this initiative to think about creating wealth, offering jobs, providing for people to live well.
In our context today, wealth creation is as much about the Great Commission as it is about anything else. And so business is or must be involved in unfolding the Great Commission as we move towards the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Wealth creation is extremely important. One, it is a godly command and a godly gift. But it also has huge implications. The Bible talks about wealth in three ways. One is hoarding. It's for me, myself, to get rich. And the Bible says, no, no, no. Then the Bible also talks about wealth distribution, sharing, giving, generosity. And that is commended and encouraged, and that is good. But thirdly, we note that there is no wealth to be distributed unless it has been created. So what we're looking at here is, what is the role of wealth creation for holistic transformation of people and nations? And it has huge implications if you do it wrong. I'm not going to unpack it, but Venezuela is a case in point where wealth creation was destroyed and wealth distribution went overboard. It's towards a failed state. So we don't just want to look at it as, this is not about making some people rich. This is following God's command of creating wealth on a micro perspective so we can be a blessing for cities, for industries, for nations, and for the world. And talking about the world, you want to come to the next BAM Global Congress, which is going to be in Thailand in 2020. Stay tuned. Now, looking forward a little bit, what are some of the gaps? We looked at some of the gaps that we're starting to bridge. Looking forward, there's still a number of challenges ahead. And I just want to mention a few briefly, not an exhaustive list. We need to be more intentional about BAM solutions to global issues, review and revise what we mean by return on investment, build critical mass for holistic societal transformation, and stay Christ-centered. I'll unpack this briefly, a couple of minutes each, because I have 9 minutes and 1 second to go, approximately. When we look at human trafficking, modern-day slavery, there are more people being held slaves today than were shipped across the Atlantic during the legal slave trade. And a root cause of human trafficking is unemployment. So we can't talk about adequate prevention unless we talk about jobs with dignity. And likewise, we can't talk about helping survivors unless we can answer the question, out of trafficking, into what? There needs to be a job with dignity at the other end. And there is a growing global movement, you hear more about that tomorrow by Michelle, of freedom businesses, businesses that exist to fight human trafficking. We're approaching 100 such businesses that are part of the Freedom Business Alliance. Watch this video.
At its core, human trafficking is an economic problem. Businesses powered by greed, where people are the product, where life and dignity is traded for cold profit. An economic problem needs an economic solution. Without the means for sustainable employment, 80% of rescued victims are sucked back into the cycle of destruction, which is why business is coming to the forefront in the fight against human trafficking. Employment can offer a preventative solution as well as provide hope and dignity for survivors. We call them freedom businesses, and they're our heroes. But in order to succeed, many of these businesses need strong partnerships, which is why we created the Freedom Business Alliance. The FBA is made up of men and women just like you, a network of people around the world that are using their skill and expertise to change the tide of this battle. We're committed to serving freedom business owners by providing mentoring, training, and resources. We're stronger together, and we believe it's time for business to profit for people rather than from them. Join the Alliance.
Another issue where we needed bland solutions is the third bottom line, be good stewards of the planet. And research has shown that this is a weakness, a weak area among BAM business globally. As part of the global consultation wealth creation, we had one working group that looked at BAM and creation care. And the report is just fantastic, to talk about the biblical foundation of this, and there are interesting case studies. And this is not just reactive in terms of, okay, I guess we're going to recycle our plastic bottles. No, this is about meeting challenges, environmental issues, innovate and commercialize and solve problems. And this report is brilliant. Get it from bamglobal.org. And in the Wealth Creation Manifesto, we have a statement about this. Creation care is not optional. Stewardship of creation and business solutions to environmental challenges should be an integral part of wealth creation through business. You with me? Are you against me? Okay, that would be more fun. But we'll just move on anyway. In BAM, we talk about multiple bottom lines and multiple stakeholders, God being one of them. That we want to have a positive impact on multiple bottom lines, on multiple stakeholders. Then we cannot continue to just think one stakeholder and one bottom line. Shareholders making money. How do we review the whole issue of investment, return on investments? Who are the stakeholders? Where shall the return on investment go? To whom? And is it just financial? Watch this video. Business as mission is more than doing business with just a touch of churchianity. Business as mission is beyond social enterprise. In business as mission, God is a stakeholder, and He has a vested interest in a positive impact on multiple bottom lines for multiple stakeholders. That's why we need to move from Wall Street to BAM Street. Let me explain. Wall Street is like a two-way street. You have some cars moving in that direction and other cars coming that way. Put some money in with the hope of getting more back. That's not wrong. Business as mission, however, is looking beyond that. The BAM Street is more like a roundabout. A roundabout has several entry points and several exit points. So we, of course, want to put in financial capital so a business can grow, but also spiritual capital, social capital, intellectual capital. But not all return on that investment may come back to the original investor. It may be a blessing, a return to other stakeholders. That is the BAM Street. So join us as we're moving on from Wall Street to BAM Street. Deloitte did a study a few years ago on the impact of social enterprises. And they looked at some major initiatives, multi-million, billion-dollar initiatives of social enterprises, thinking, we're going to see what the impact is. And they were surprised to find it was quite limited. Not because they were bad, but they failed to connect the dots. They failed to create an ecosystem. It was business only. They hadn't thought about an ecosystem where they involve different groups of civil society, NGOs, universities, and government, and so forth. So they said, there needs to be an industry facilitator, people who connect the dots so we can see holistic transformation take place. Same applies for BAM. Because we're looking at transformation, holistic transformation, on a macro scale, not just an individual or a business. But for that to happen, we need to think ecosystem. We need to collaborate within that ecosystem. That is still a major challenge. Oh, I had something more to say there, didn't I? Interesting. Yeah, there we go. Voila. Lastly, we need to stay Christ-centered. Because if we lose our Jesus focus, we lose everything. So, are there any people with Irish background in here? Okay. When is St. Patrick's Day?
March 17th.
Good. What do you do then? Yeah. Dressing green and drink beer, and then you think about St. Patrick. So St. Patrick was a human trafficking victim who went back to the very island that was held slave, and that is Ireland, and he became the apostle who brought the gospel into Ireland. So he wrote several prayers, and I've taken the liberty, without permission from St. Patrick, to customize one of his prayers to make it a BAM prayer. So what I want us to do now is to all pray together a BAM prayer based on St. Patrick's prayer. And you can use this prayer on a daily basis in and for your business. So please stand up with me and let's pray this one together. Can you still see the screen standing up? All right, here we go. Christ with me as I do business for him and people. Christ before me as I plan my business. Christ behind me as I review my business. Christ in me, my guiding light in business. Christ beneath me, he is the foundation. Christ above me, he is the owner of my business. Christ on my right, Christ on my left, he is the Lord of the marketplace. Christ when I lie down and rest from my work. Christ when I sit down in my office chair. Christ when I rise, enthusiastic or weary. Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me and my business. Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me and my business. Christ in every eye that sees me, my staff, customers, suppliers, and competitors. Christ in every ear that hears me speak, products, services. Amen. Amen. Please sit down. And thank you. That was it.
All right. If you have questions, you can throw them in the app. First question. Looking at businesses like Cadbury that started off with a strong Christian ethic but have lost it over the years, and that was kind of your last point, how do businesses retain their gospel core over years of leadership change?
Yeah, it's good. The amazing thing with Cadbury, though, they retained their that sort of holistic Christian focus for almost 200 years. And then they were bought up by Kraft Foods and then things changed. But it was, as a family-owned business, they actually kept it. It's not a magic wand, you just do this and it will stay Christian. But it has to be an intentionality somehow and a system against mission drift. Yeah. Where there, if you have it written in statutes, bylaws, or in some charter, or you keep up some kind of practices like doing St. Patrick's BAM prayer, you know, it's part of the thing. But you have to find a way that this is being systematized in such a way it will become intergenerational.
Yeah.
And you figure that one out.
All right. I'll have my book next year for you, and we'll have the solution
all
laid out. At the beginning, it was really encouraging, actually, to see the statistics on the alleviation of poverty. And you said that wealth creation is greatly reducing poverty. Do you think we'll see the alleviation of poverty in anytime soon?
We are seeing less and less poverty. Poverty is not just, you know, how much cash do you have in your hand or in the bank. You know, poverty is also defined more holistically, you know, access to clean water, to health care, and to community. You can be socially poor, as was mentioned earlier today, and you can be spiritually poor as well. So when we talk about wealth creation and alleviation of poverty, it's an holistic. We want to alleviate spiritual poverty, social poverty, financial poverty, and so forth. And the curves are there. It is getting better and better, regardless of what Fox News or CNN says. But that doesn't mean I think we'll ever see the end of poverty, because poverty is related to living in a sinful world. Yeah. And as long as we live in a sinful world and we are sinners, there will be poverty.
Yeah.
But there is good news, and I think we need to be reminded about that, because we are so bombarded with bad news. It's getting worse, it's getting worse, it's getting worse. No, there are actually a number of things that are getting better and better and better. My wife and I are based in Singapore during the winter. Tough life, somebody has to do it. And of course, Singapore is a dramatic change in 50 years. You know, to simplify it, to generalize it, one would say, you know, it was like a fishing village in a swamp with some trade 50 years ago. Today is one of the cleanest, safest, most prosperous, green, environmentally friendly nations on this planet. And a UN, United Nations study, said that the Singapore River, this is back in the 1970s, is irreversibly damaged and can never be salvaged. Doomsday scenarios. They cleaned it up. And this is where we look at some of these issues we're facing today, poverty of various kinds, and environmental problems as well. It's like, God, how can we find a solution through business so we can be a blessing to people and nations, including cleaning up rivers?
All right.
Oh, stunned silence. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that.
One more question. Where do you see collaboration as most needed in the BAM world?
On various levels, but it needs to, if you want to see macro transformation, it's not sufficient that we just connect some dots, as in, you know, some BAM academics, and that's a great network that is growing, and or that the two BAM agencies are collaborating. We're never going to reach a tipping point in any industry or any city unless we create a critical mass. And I think this is beyond just thinking, how do we find a partner in this room or at this conference? We need to start asking a little bit more of a macro question, like the Coffee and as Mission Network. You know, is that a nucleus towards changing the coffee industry? I don't know. It could be. And in Indonesia, a group I'm working with, and I'll mention them again on Sunday, there are about 8,000 BAM-like businesses now, small, medium, and large. And they're becoming such a critical mass, so the government has recognized them as an important factor for the nation. But that's, you know, It's that intentionality, but it's all, not just partnering in general. Is there strategic partnerships towards macro transformation?
Yeah, thank you. All right, let's give Mats a hand.